So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
To Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. I'll be Captain Buzzkill today.
Oh?
Yeah, dude. I'm not going to be suckered in again. I refuse, bro. You're not going to catch. Really nice win for the Kings last night. 120 to 113 over the Cavs. They played great. Awesome. Love to see it. Zach LaVine was great. DeMar DeRozan was awesome. Demontis Sabonis dominated. Love to see it. I'm not moved. I know they can do that. Nothing happened last night that I'm like, oh, wow, they do have that in their bag. Nah, we know. Like, cool, man. Call me in 2 weeks if they're still doing this.
But again,
I know that we're supposed to be going game by game, and hey, if they win, great. Like, and that is, you need to win. And now they're in the 9 seed. They would host that play-in game. That gives you a better chance to win that play-in game. It looks like it's going to be the Mavs because the Suns have finally started checking all the way out. But I watched last night, and I almost get annoyed because where was this against Washington? I couldn't get a little bit of this against Washington.
No.
Where was this in all these other games? We were like, gotta win tonight, gotta win tonight, gotta win tonight, and then they lose five in a row. Ugh.
They are the, like, because people, like, on social media, the chatty house, you know, you are a thief of joy. They sent you a Michael Scott gift.
No, that's fine.
Saying you were a thief of
joy. Sure.
No, the Kings are the thief of joy.
Thank you.
They are the thieves of joy. Like, it's not, we're just telling you how it plays out. Like, it's very frustrating to watch this team.
It is.
And they make no sense about 87% of the time. You don't know if they're going to win or lose any game. There was some confidence going into yesterday, like, huh, they'll probably win this game, because they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best teams of basketball.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, the Sacramento Kings have their number.
Swept them. Played great twice against them.
Yeah, just totally bizarre. And the weird part is they played really well against him twice in odd points in the schedule where they weren't playing all that well.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to this Kings team. But I will say, like, we're getting towards the end of the season here where there it's possible, like, one of these teams may bench a couple of guys against the Kings and give them another shot. Mm-hmm. Although, like, the way that the schedule is, the way that the standings are right now with so many teams tied or real close to each other, maybe not. Maybe the Kings are going to have to play it out here. Maybe they're going to have to give everything they've got against Denver and everything they have against the Clippers. Sure. It's very possible.
Sure. Yeah, the West is insane right now. There are the 3 through 8 seeds, I believe, are separated by a game.
Yeah, that's wild.
So Denver, I don't think you're getting anything less than Denver's best shot. I don't think you're getting anything less than the Clippers' best shot. You don't have Golden State or Minnesota or Memphis, but yeah, man. Maybe the Suns will be out of it by the last game of the year, and so maybe that one will be.
Yeah,
maybe they'll sit guys in that one, but like,
but maybe the Kings will too.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You watch Zach LaVine go for 37, and he hit so many big threes last night. Every big three they needed, Zach LaVine cashed it.
Mm-hmm.
You see Domas and them running the ball through Domas late in the game, getting the ball in the low post late, got a bucket. Like, awesome. Amazing.
Yes.
Love to see it. See DeMar working within the flow of the offense. He still took 18 shots, but it never felt like the 4 minute stretch where nobody else is going to touch the basketball. And you watch this and you go, see, this is why nobody can fully punt. We're down on this team for sure.
Yeah.
And I think fans are in general kind of like, eh, yeah, let's get this season over with. But at the same time, you can't fully punt because the Kings are capable of playing in Charlotte. They took care of business. It took them 7 or 8 minutes to get rolling. But once they did, they just kind of put the screws to a bad team and kicked the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. And then they go on the fifth game of a 6-game road trip into Cleveland. You knock off Cleveland for the second time. And it's like, yeah, man, if you told me they played this well and beat the Mavs in a play-in game and then beat whichever one of the 9 teams could be the 7 or 8 seed.
Probably Memphis, but go ahead.
Sure. Memphis, Minnesota, Denver's there. If I believe the Clippers, Warriors, Grizzlies, and Timberwolves all play tonight.
Oof.
And Denver is idle. If all 4 of those teams win, Denver drops to the 8 seed.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Does Denver just doesn't have tiebreakers or what? Or they'll drop into a tie?
Yes.
For the
that
8.
Would knock them down okay. to the 8. So, this is if you told me that the Kings beat any one of those teams in a 1-game play-in and were the 8 seed, like, sure, man, yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, like I want to see them win as many games as they can down the stretch. I'd love to see them get hot for 2 weeks here and make a little noise. That would be super fun. That'd be more fun for you guys, the listeners, who are Kings fans. That'd be more fun for us, who get on the radio and talk about it and write about it at thekingsbeat.com. My deepest concern here is they show just enough life to these wholesale changes we're talking about in the offseason.
No.
I'm afraid they're going to show just enough life to go, ah, maybe they did start to figure it out. And I don't think they are. I think what happened last night was the planets aligned and the Kings played an awesome basketball game. I don't believe the Kings are capable of doing that for 2 or 3 or 4 consecutive weeks and certainly an 82-game season.
No, this current iteration of the Kings, I do not believe they can do that. I mean, what we watched was a game where, again, I thought Domantas Sabonis was just, he set the table so early in the game, 15 yeah. points in the first quarter, just bullied Jared Allen all over the court. And Jared Allen is an exceptional defender.
Really good player.
Just destroyed him.
It was so like, bad.
Just made him look bad. And then they tried other things on Sabonis, and none of it worked. He was just absolutely dominant. But what he did is he set the physicality
mm-hmm.
for the game. He's mm-hmm. like, this is the level we're playing at today.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're all here for it because this is what we're playing at.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like everybody fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought DeMar DeRozan was exceptional. I don't think that he forced a bunch of shots. Mm-hmm. The shots that he did take, a lot of them were out of necessity late. There were some moments where he tried to dribble into like Evan Mobley, mm-hmm. like a 6'11", you know, 7'5".
DPOY,
yeah. yeah. And was either going to get blocked or whatever and gave the ball up late and we, you know, had the scramble drill and all that stuff. But overall, I thought he was exceptional. I thought that Zach LaVine was just, man, when he's rolling, you're just like, why is that? Why do we get that every fifth game? Like, I don't understand. Like, why, if you have that kind of talent. Yes. I mean, when he pulls up for a 3 and he's not even getting that much separation. It's just like a little sidestep, not even super fast sidestep. Yep. Pulls up, boom.
Cash.
Nothing but net.
Cash.
So when you're getting that version of the Kings, you do look at them and go, okay, maybe there are some teams you can beat out there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you can get, you know, Keegan Murray back on the court after missing last night's game. But realistically, the other players to figure out their roles. Keon Ellis is quietly figuring out his role. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk is, I don't even know what's happening. But either way, Doug did the right thing and didn't play Malik down the stretch.
Yeah, I played 20 minutes last night.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest with you, those were rough 20 minutes.
They were not good.
No, none of them.
1 of 8, 0 of 3 from 3. Finished with 8 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, and a steal. 4 turnovers.
And the turnovers were egregious.
One of the things I do appreciate is that urgency from Doug, where it's not, all right, Keegan Murray's out, so Trey Lyles in the starting lineup. That means, like, Isaac Jones got 5.5 minutes, but it wasn't, Isaac Jones, you're going to play 15 minutes just because we kind of need somebody in the rotation. It wasn't, yeah, Malik, you're getting 30 minutes. Like, go out and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
There was that urgency of need this game, have a chance to win this game. So, Zach, you're playing 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles, you're playing 40 minutes. DeMar, you're playing 40 minutes. And again, is that sustainable down the stretch? No, but for this last week of the year?
Yeah, you got four games left,
right? You have no choice.
Yeah.
This is the position you put yourself in. So I did appreciate that from Doug last night, that in that spot, we saw him operate with the level of urgency as a coach that I think the Kings needed.
Yeah, I mean, last night's game very specifically, because the Kings play again today against the Detroit Pistons. Kyle's Detroit Pistons.
My Pistons, thank you.
But it was Doug just pushing all of his chips in and saying, look, we think we can get this win. And when you're hanging around at halftime, when you're hanging around in the third quarter, you start to build a lead, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're going all in. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas didn't play in the second half. I think Malik Monk is the only bench player to play in the second half.
Yeah, he played 10 minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he played 3.5 minutes in the fourth quarter and 10 minutes total in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, like, desperate times call for desperate measures. And, you know, I don't know what this team is going to look like tonight. Hopefully they get Keegan Murray back. We have no idea on Keegan Murray, so people know. Keegan, you know, of course, missed last night's game with back soreness. The Kings, because of the back-to-back, they do not have to give out an injury report until later in the day, although it is, an early game, East Coast game. So we'll have to figure out when they're actually going to give it to us. But I think it's 12:30. When we'll find out, but
great.
Like, I'm
so
not
after
sure.
The show.
Yeah, so after
Perfect.
The show.
Love that. Shout out to the Kings for getting an egregiously bad call to go their way. We'd love to see it. I don't know. Look, dude, we see missed calls all the time. The reason the Kings won the game yesterday wasn't because of that missed call on the Zach LaVine layup that was after the shot clock buzzer. That was not the reason the Kings won, which is why I don't the thing that fascinates me about this is that there's not a clear way to handle that, because it seemed to me in real time I was like, oh, they're gonna review that bucket.
Oh yeah,
like that looked like, but maybe he got it. I personally could not tell in real time, but it's like, that was really close. I think they're going to stop the game here and review that. And then they just didn't. And then they had that super long review late in the game on the Donovan Mitchell foul on the three, but he stepped out of bounds.
Yes.
They had that super long review, and I'm watching on silent. And I'm like, oh, they must be finally reviewing that Zach LaVine bucket. What a weird thing that they're doing that now. And then they come out and they're like, no, ball's going the other way. I was like, oh my God.
And this was on like the final 53 seconds.
Yes.
Right? So yes. The LaVine... Again, it was another one of those weird plays where they wasted way too much time on the shot clock, and then LaVine got the ball with like 2.5 seconds left. Yep. He races to the basket. Clearly does not get the shot
way
off.
Late.
The ball was fully still on his hand before the lights go off. Couple of things. Number one, Cleveland doesn't have like the whole backboard light up red. I don't understand that.
I figured that would be like a standard.
I thought it was too.
Thing.
They had like a yellow strip going across the middle of the inside of the backboard that lit up when for a shot clock violation. So I went back and looked at the rules, and first of all, the officials admitted they were wrong at the end of the game. They admitted they were wrong, but they had no way to rectify it. And to me, I was super confused by that, because what we saw like on the homestand last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, there was a game where the Kings, you know, it goes to a timeout, it goes to a TV timeout. Mm-hmm. We came back out of that, and the official gets on the mic and says, hey, the shot at whatever point in that quarter was disallowed. It came after the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
So they took points off the board.
Right.
So I'm under the assumption that that's possibly what's going to happen at any moment.
Yes.
That someone's going to hit, like even the review center, they're watching the game the whole time, and they trigger reviews.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting. And then once we got past it and you realize they're not going to review it, and then the officials come out, Courtney Kirkland came out and says, hey, sorry, it's our bad, but like once the ball got inbounds, there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm like, what?
That's not the case. That's definitely not the case.
So I looked up the...
Yeah.
So If prior to the second mandatory timeout in the fourth period, the review must take place at the next timeout or period break following the basket in question. If the next break is at halftime, the review, blah, blah, blah. Following the second mandatory timeout, which is where we're at in this situation, mm-hmm. in the fourth period and any overtime period, the review will take place at the next clock stoppage, including immediately upon a successful basket when the clock stops in the last 2 minutes. Well, what happened was they gave LaVine the basket. The Cavs came down. They
scored. Jared Allen dunk.
Yep. The Kings inbounds, play over. It's over at that point. It's dead. They can't go back and review it.
Right.
That's what this rule says, which is totally bizarre that in the final 2 minutes of a game that they're not going to review something that they review all the time during the game.
As soon as, to me, the protocol should be, and again, I'm not, this is not the reason the Kings won the game. It's just an interesting procedural officiating thing. Also, the league owes the Kings like 10, but it's fine.
Oh, 40.
An entire playoff series if we're keeping it a stack. So I don't understand how it's not just protocol. If somebody makes a bucket at the shot clock buzzer, then it's not like, hang on, stop.
Yeah.
Let's check that real quick.
Well, it is. Because that's what they do with a three-pointer. In that situation, if there was if DeMar DeRozan took a three, let's say like DeMar DeRozan took a three.
Let's just pick a person who might have a toe on the line. I don't know. Just pick a
And
random.
You're like, wait, did he have his toe on the line or not? You can go back right then because it changes the way you play out the final 35 seconds, 40 seconds of the game. Mm-hmm. The Donovan Mitchell play. Mm-hmm. Again, it changes the finals. Yep. So they're like, hang on, let's get it right. But the fact that they didn't look at this to get it right means that they weren't paying attention when it happened in real time.
Crazy.
Wild.
And maybe it's because of what you brought up. Maybe it's because they're used to like corner of their eye. Oh, big red square is going to light up.
Yeah.
But the Cavs have one LED strip.
Yeah.
It is meant to go under your counter or under your cabinets. They're like, that'll do. That works, right?
So Man. Confused. So confused.
It's the Cleveland of shot clock buzzers.
It is.
Crazy. Nevertheless, Kings win. 120-113 over the Cavs. They sweep the Cavs. They go 3-1 against Boston and Cleveland this year.
That's just bizarre.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
We'll keep diving into that. We'll take a look at the Wild Wild West in the NBA. We'll take a look at the Wild Wild NL West as well. The San Francisco Giants now leading the NL West. Meanwhile, the A's, I have good news. I've got some good early signs, despite the fact that maybe they're not playing as well as we thought they would. I have some good news for you on that front. Tons of basketball, a little baseball coming up here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. He's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're The Insiders here on Sacramento.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Real quick, I want to put a pin in the sports talk for a moment to give a big congratulations to friend of the program, Chris Biederman, and his lovely bride, Leanne. They got married this weekend. It was a delightful time. A terrific wedding downtown. There was an after party. I've never been to a wedding after party where it was like...
legit.
Like people like getting after it. My idea of a wedding after party is like we're all going to sit around in the hotel lobby and we're going to DoorDash some Taco Bell and drink beers. No, it was like a party.
How did
it was
the,
a great time.
How did the barber experience go for you?
It was great. So I did. I took your guys' advice. I just went in there. I didn't do anything to myself. And I sat down and I said, "Can we just get the stubble off the top? This is how I normally, you know, this is the lines I usually use. Can we trim here and here?" And she was like, "Bet, got you." Bop, bop, bop. And she's like, "Do you want me to do this to your beard?" And I was like, "No idea. Whatever you think is going to look good." And she was like, "Bet." It was great. I'm really happy with my decision.
Did they like use a little brush like on your entire head?
No. She did a little like a barber's brush.
Oh, okay.
Like just a little like sweep.
Oh, she's
like some dust with the dusty stuff. I don't know exactly what it is.
Okay.
Some kind of powder. But yeah, man, it was great. So congrats to Chris and Leanne. I'm not going to get all cheesy about them on the radio. I'll just write them a letter and do that.
I like
threw a great party. Threw a hell of a party. Anyways. The food was great. Chris would not shut up about how good the food was going to be.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Food's about to be bomb. Food's about to be bomb." I was like, "All right, yeah, man. I've had wedding food before. I got it." No. Food was bomb. He undersold it.
You've been there before, haven't you?
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
I have never been there.
I had a Mulvaney's lunch meeting
downtown.
There. Yeah, I had a
Mulvaney's. Okay, thank you. Okay.
I had a lunch meeting there like 8 months ago, and it was like, "Oh, bro, this is so good."
All right, so they had like a salad, some kind of salad with like walnuts and like a sesame dressing. Bomb. Bread from Acme Bread Co. Bomb. Yep. With this like salted Sierra Nevada butter.
Yeah.
Unreal. What was next? Some kind of pasta that had like arugula and peas in it. Couldn't get enough of it. Our table was like, because they served it family style. We were like, "Bring more of this. Just mas pasta. Just keep bringing that around." I'm not a seafood guy at all.
Nope.
I'll do like shrimp. I'll do like a swordfish steak.
Okay. You might be a seafood guy.
I'm not a seafood guy. I'm definitely not a seafood guy. Like salmon, get out of my face. Don't want to touch it.
Really?
But it was some kind of sea bass with this really good like salsa verde on it with some saffron rice and some carrots.
Oh, dude.
But outstanding. Ate multiple pieces of fish, which is not a thing I would usually do. And then there was a steak with some asparagus and a potato puree that was... Mm.
It sounds like a lot of food.
It was so much food. And then drinks, dancing.
Very cool.
What a night. What a night. Shout out to Chris and Leanne. Air horns one more time. Real quick, before we get back into the Kings... Our NCAA Men's Championship game is set. Florida v. Houston. That broadcast is here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock tonight. That Duke blown lead, the 6 points with 34 seconds left or whatever it was.
Wild.
All-time bad. All-time collapse from our guys.
Yeah, that was really, really tough to watch.
But Florida-Auburn was a great game. Really, really good Final Four. I understand the gripe of you know, oh, there's no Cinderellas, there's no big time upsets, you know, with Florida Gulf Coast or Loyola Chicago or whatever. Like Butler back in the day with Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens. I understand missing that aspect of the tournament a little bit, but the awesome basketball has made up for it for me. I have not minded the fact that we aren't watching a 12 seed in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, this was like truly. Like the
four best teams,
all the ones, right? But to see them match up and actually play competitive games all the way down the stretch, and again, Duke has the game sewn up and falls asleep at the wheel, just could not figure it out. Just really, really crazy. But like overall, I thought the quality of basketball was phenomenal. Cooper Flagg was everything that we've heard about. Man, he was so incredibly good.
He is. Remember the story I told you before we knew each other when we were working at NBC together?
Yep.
And the reason I didn't go talk to you was because you had just had a really strong Lonzo Ball take. And I was like, wow, that's a stronger Lonzo Ball take than the one I have. So I don't want to talk to that guy. It was intimidating.
I had just gone to watch Lonzo Ball. They had I think the first two rounds in Sacramento.
Right.
With UCLA was there.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you were fresh off watching. And you had said, and obviously it hasn't gone this way, you had injuries and stuff, but yeah. You had said, like, I think he's a franchise-altering player.
Oh, yeah.
He is a person who turns a franchise around. That is how I feel about Cooper Flagg. This whole, like, I don't think there's a... I heard somebody say, somebody smarter than me, say that his floor as a player, like if stuff goes sideways for him and he just doesn't figure it out in the NBA, his floor is like Nick Batum, which is a really long career of being a really good 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
I think you have down here your thoughts. I'm with you. He is one of those dudes.
Yeah, he looks like straight up like a 1A.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know what he's going to average at the NBA level, but he's like such a multi-tool player. I mean, he had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks.
I mean, he's just a monster.
Well, that and all of the pressure was on him because he's the guy, right? And so everybody is watching. Like the number 2 and number 3 picks in the upcoming NBA draft, the projected 2 and 3s, both played at Rutgers and didn't even make
the tournament.
So it's like him by himself. Like, how are you going to play?
Yes.
And all the focus is on him. Now, they also have 2 other guys that are going to be top 10 picks at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're stacked. Their roster's stacked. Yeah. And, like, the fact that they lost is just typical Duke. But
their roster is stacked, and he was so clearly the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Without question. And, again, I was fully sold on him as a player when he was at Team USA Select and just busted up Team USA.
Yeah.
And when you've got LeBron and Steph and Bam Adebayo and all these guys going like, hey, he's one of the ones. He's one of the, he's a dude. And then he goes out and backs it up with the freshman year that he had and then goes out and backs that up in the Final Four. I just think he's built different.
Oh, yeah.
And any doubt I had or any like I got to see it, I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah, you're just hoping like something weird doesn't happen. It doesn't turn into like Adam Morrison. Like, you're just praying that that doesn't happen. I don't think it will.
I would be stunned.
I would too.
I would be stunned.
He's so incredibly good.
Yeah. So Florida-Houston tonight, 4 o'clock coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320, the NCAA Men's Championship. And congratulations, to UConn on the women's side. They thumped South Carolina last night.
They're so bad. I mean, talk about a
story franchise.
Paige
Becker's only had 17.
Mm.
And they still dragged South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, has there ever, like it, their dynasty is like the UCLA dynasty on the men's side. Like UConn, they've been so good for so long.
There's never been a point where I've followed sports that UConn women's hoops hasn't been like the team.
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah.
Yeah. I know South Carolina's had their run. Caitlin Clark was in the mix there for a little bit. Tennessee's obviously been incredible with their program, but UConn's just been around forever.
Oh, yeah. Just greatness.
They're still winning titles. So salute to them, and I'm excited to see what Paige Beckers does in the WNBA. A little more news in Major League Baseball.
This is crazy.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. Got a contract extension from the Blue Jays. 14 years, $500 million, no deferrals. They're deferring none of that money.
This is not a Dodgers special.
This is, dude, somebody pointed this out on the internet, and this is the greatest concern I have when you see a 14-year, $500 million contract for a guy like Vlad Guerrero Jr., who is an outstanding young player deserving of a deal like this. This is all careening toward another really ugly lockout in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not a sustainable model where to keep a player around, you have to keep him on a 14-year, $500 million deal or something in that vicinity.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
It's insane.
He's going to make $35.7 million a year on average.
And if this was MLB, if this was just teams being like, yeah, we're going to spend and we're going to pay him this much and we're going to pay other guys this much. But like, no, it's the top guys get paid. And then you go into free agency every year and there's really good players on the market just into spring training. And it's because there's these guys making $500 million, $700 million on their contracts. And then there's everybody else. And owners aren't going to spend at the rate to keep everybody else happy and in the mix. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't. And like, to be honest with you, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to figure out. But at the same time, we talk about quarterbacks making $50, $60 million a year. We talk about, you know, basketball players making $45, $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of where pro sports are going. Mm-hmm. And I know for every one of those guys, there's going to be like five of the guys that don't make anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't, it's kind of the path, isn't it?
We have to get toward a place. I know right now they have the competitive balance tax,
mm-hmm.
where teams have to, it's kind of like the luxury tax in the NBA. But at some point, like I'm of the mind where I sit today that I don't think like the Dodgers do anything wrong. I think the Dodgers have an ownership group that's willing to spend not only on their roster, but on their player development. And that allows them to continue churning out good prospects that they can trade and they can get good players. It's a good way to build a team. The problem is while they're doing that within the rules, there aren't enough other MLB owners who are willing to play at that level. And that doesn't mean the Dodgers are necessarily going to win the World Series this year. They're the favorite, but the Phillies could get them, or mm-hmm. the Padres could get them, or the Giants, the NL West leading Giants could get, I don't know. But the fact that there's one team that's like playing in this pool, and then there's a couple other teams that are going to spend big. You got the Mets, you've got your Yankees, the Padres have been willing to shell out money. The Red Sox, not as much, but we know they can get there. We know the Cubs can get there. But like, there are 20 teams in the league that are just never going to be able to spend at that level. Or excuse me, they'll never be willing to spend at that level. And if the league isn't going to incentivize owners like spending that money to be competitive,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose your league. Because this trend is not going to beget baseball fans.
No, I get you. What I'm looking at right now, like the way that the Dodgers just like outspend. I mean, if you're going to have one team that spends three or four times more
mm-hmm.
than every other team or than teams at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
that just doesn't make sense. There has to be some sort of competitive balance. And I just don't think that we're ever going to get there. We do have some news. It's just popping up.
We love news.
Maybe you don't. Keegan Uh-oh. Murray is listed as questionable with back soreness. Jake LaRavia is out again with left thumb with a bone contusion.
Goodness me.
Keon Ellis has been listed as questionable with right hand soreness. I seem to remember him hurting his hand in the game last night. And I can't remember when it happened, but he like got his hand caught. So we'll have to see what happens. But Sacramento Kings played tonight. Man. That is the injury report for right now. Keon Ellis, questionable. Jake LaRavia out. Keegan Murray is questionable. And of course,
limping to the finish line.
Yeah. Isaiah Crawford and Mason Jones are both on their two-way. They're mm-hmm. they're away. And they actually...
Do they even have games left?
Yeah, they're playing for the championship. They won...
No, I meant in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Both of them have tons of games left.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Mason Jones has only played like 10 games. See. And I think Isaiah Crawford's less than that.
But isn't there a set amount they can play? Like your two-way spots can only play X amount of games?
No, there's three. So you get each of them get 50 games.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. Mason Jones is at 10. Isaiah Crawford is at 15. I would not have guessed that Mason Jones had played less than Isaiah Crawford at the pro level.
I would not have guessed that either.
He's
That's
been
wild.
Phenomenal. He has been absolutely phenomenal in their playoff run. Mason Jones.
Oh, Mason Jones?
Yeah, Mason Jones put up
38 last night?
I think he put up 47 last, like in the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah, he's backpacking that team.
Good for him.
Yep.
Just talking MLB payrolls real quick. The Dodgers payroll is $321 million, and that doesn't take into account all their deferrals.
How much?
$321 million.
And the A's is what?
$73 million.
Yeah.
The Mets are at $323. They have the highest payroll in the sport. The Yankees, $293, and I'm rounding here. Phillies, $284. Blue Jays, $239. Rangers, $220. Astros, $220. Braves, $214. Padres, $208. Those are the 9 teams with payrolls over $200 million. And then you've got the Guardians are at 100, Pirates 87, White Sox 82, Rays 79, A's 73, Marlins 67. Yikes.
Yeah, the disparity is just, that's where you can't live. That's where
this is not tenable.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, that disparity long term.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Well, because people are going to get sick of it.
At some point, there's going to be a reckoning with Major League Baseball. But shout out to Vlad Guerrero getting in with a 14-year, $500 million deal.
It's awesome.
We love seeing guys get paid. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil riding along with us. We have two opportunities to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get via this giveaway. This is courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. We give you keywords after Kings games, and then you enter those keywords and you enter for a chance to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, an exclusive Insiders hoodie, courtesy of Jiffy Lube. We pull a winner on Fridays. Okay. The first word, so this is for the Charlotte game.
Mm-hmm.
The first word is comfortable. Comfortable. C-O-M-F-O-R-T-A-B-L-E. Comfortable.
The Kings won in comfortable fashion.
Yeah, they did. Go to ESPN1320.com. You'll find the Jiffy Lube contest page. You click on that. Enter the keyword comfortable, and you will be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get from this giveaway, or if you work here. And that's courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. We will have a second opportunity to enter coming up in a bit here on the program. We'll dive back into the Sacramento Kings. We've got the A's and Giants are starting to really get rolling in their seasons. Not a great start for the A's, but I've got some numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for some optimism, I've got some reasons to be optimistic about your Sacramento A's coming up in a bit. That's James. That's Joe. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle. That's Joe. We're talking about Nikola Jokic at the break. He's back up to 30 points a night. He's had 61, 10, and 10, 33, 12, and 9, 41, 15, and 13 in their last three games, and they're 0-3.
That's horrible.
Yikes.
On the season. Yikes, dude. 30-point, 12.8 rebounds, and 10.2 assists.
I got one for you. The Nuggets are currently fourth in the West. They're 47 and 32. They are a half game up on the 5-8 seeds.
Yeah, it's just wild.
They're 47 and 32. The 5-8 seeds are all 46 and 32. The 5-8 seeds all play tonight. And from what I understand, if they all win, the Nuggets fall to the 8 seed. Which does not seem real to me. That doesn't seem right to me.
No.
Because they've kicked the hell out of Golden State. They definitely have the Golden State tiebreaker head-to-head. But I don't know if when it's this, if it's that many teams all tied, I don't know where the tiebreakers go.
You can lose a tiebreaker to every... If you lose a tiebreaker to everybody, then you're out, right?
Okay.
But then if you have any tiebreakers that are mixed, mm-hmm. then those teams stay in, I believe.
I see.
So, yeah. That's crazy. They're also only a game and a half behind the Lakers for the 3 seed.
I kind of think the Lakers are going to lock up the 3 seed. They're playing really well right now.
It does kind of feel that way.
They're playing really well. Dude, I made a joke on the internet the other night, which is always a terrible idea. I joked because Brandon Podziemski in the Warriors game against the Lakers had 22 in the first half. Hit a runner for 3 at the buzzer. Just silly. And so I joked because Austin Reeves is obviously a far better player than Brandon Podziemski. It is without question.
Yeah, he is.
Not even close.
And we're not even Austin Reeves fans.
We're not even Austin Reeves guys, but he's been really good lately. But I joked, that I said Brandon Pajemski is just ethical Austin Reeves. And dude, that got to the weirdest place of Lakers Twitter.
Oh no.
I had the most heinous things said about me, about my family, about anything. Anything was on the table.
Wow.
In the responses to this. Like, just insane.
That's crazy.
Like, the joke is, people are like, AR, like they're best friends. AR's a way better player than him. Blah, 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 blah. You guys need to get his, what's the word I'm looking for? Anatomy out of your anatomy. Like, dude, insane.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, no, the joke is that Austin Reeves is really good. Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the funny. Is that Brandon Pajemski is not on he had a really nice half. This is the joke.
Yes.
Man. I'm not usually a blocker on the internet.
Oh yeah.
But when you start getting weird like that, get out.
That's where I block people, when they get really weird, when they say things that are like offensive, like really over the top offensive.
Yeah.
Or they use profanity or racial comments. Yeah. Like, done. I don't want that in my timeline. Get out.
1,000%. If it's anything that I'm like, you would never ever say that to somebody's face. And if you would, I don't want to deal with you anyway.
Yep.
That's where I draw the line. The amount of, yeah, anyways.
Austin Reeves.
Weird place of Lakers Twitter. That tweet made it.
Austin Reeves is averaging 20.2 points, 5.8 assists, and 4.5 rebounds.
Yeah, dude. He's been really good.
Yeah.
He's their legit third guy.
Yep.
It's LeBron and Luka in some order, and then Austin Reeves. They're dangerous, man. So the A's took 2 out of 3 from the Rockies over the weekend. They struggled, obviously, in their home opening series against the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
They got outscored 35-9. And I don't think they've played as well as I think all three of us thought they would to start the year. But on the other hand, I have some potentially good news. Let me get this. Let me make sure I have this right first.
I'm here for it.
In the American League West, the A's are 4-6. They are 4 games back of the 8-2 Texas Rangers. The Halos at 6-3. Our Halos at 6-3. Then there's the Houston Astros at 4-6. 4-5. A's at 4-6. Here's some good news for the A's. Despite their 4-6 start, their strikeout rate. 20.1%, that's tied for 7th best in baseball. They're not striking out a lot. That's good news.
Okay.
Their walk rate is also starting to tick up. It's at 18th in the league right now, but that's fine. Their team on base percentage has corresponded with that. It's up to 307. Their runs created plus, analytic that averages 100, they're at 106. That is 11th. I'm not going to get into the math of how the mm-hmm. runs created plus works. But when you sort by that, you usually get a really good list of the top hitters. Just okay. A really good kind of catch-all stat. Here's the thing that jumps out to me. So the A's right now, batting average on balls in play. That is your batting average if you take away home runs, strikeouts. Their batting average on balls in play is only 262, which is low. They have the second lowest pull rate in baseball, but they're still tied for 4th in contact rate or hard contact rate. So they're hitting. Here's the crux of to get
what
away
you're
from
trying
the numbers.
To say. Yep.
They're hitting the hell out of the ball. They're just not hitting it in the air enough is what the numbers tell me. So at some point they're going to start hitting the ball in the air. And when they do, it's been going over the fence. They're using the whole field when they're hitting. They're not striking out a lot. So what this looks like to me, and this bears itself out a little bit, they're having a lot of hard contact. They're hitting the ball hard right at people.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And they're hitting it on the ground too often, but that's something I think they can fix, little adjustments. But I think there's a offensive turnaround here coming for the A's, and maybe it's when they come back home against the Padres. That series opens tonight at Sutter Health Park. Maybe it starts this weekend or this week. But at some point, all those hard hit balls are going to turn into hits. Some of their ground balls are going to turn into fly balls,
mm-hmm.
and those balls are going to go over the fence. And at some point, we're going to see the A's start scoring a ton of runs here and winning a lot of games, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are predictors, you know, whether it's basketball or baseball or even football. I think there are some predictors that you can look at. And the fact that they're hitting the ball hard, you know, when I'm watching them play, I feel like every single time that I'm watching the opposition, there's all of these line drives right to left field. It's like line drive, base hits to left field, right? Or it's over the fence. I don't see anybody spraying the ball anymore. There's so little going opposite field, so little, like, it's usually guys just pulling the ball. And I think that's where you're looking at the A's right now, where they have hit, you know, they are going using the whole field. But on top of that, if they did just do what everyone else is doing, which is pull the ball the whole time, they're probably going to find a little bit more success as well.
I think so.
I'm surprised that their strikeout rate isn't higher because, like, watching them play, they just strike out the most inopportune times, too. And, you know, they've had a couple of pitchers who step up and go out there and just don't look like major league pitchers at all. Like, Joey Estes is, like, unfortunately, he has not looked like a major league pitcher at all. And he's probably going to have to go down there, go down to the minors. They're going to have to bring someone else up and see if they can figure that one out and then bring him back up later in the season. But for right now, you know, I think their frontline starters are doing very well, but every fifth day you're getting clubbed.
Joey Estes this season in two starts has a 15.43 ERA. He's gone seven innings.
Total. And how many hits has he given up?
15. 12 runs all earned. He's given up four home runs. That's the most in the league. He's walked six and struck out five.
Yeah.
Not great.
No. So in seven innings, he's given up 15 hits and six walks.
Yeah. His whip, his walks and hits per innings pitch is three.
Yeah. Oh. That's wild.
Not great.
That is not good at all.
Not great. But this was always going to be kind of their downfall, I think. Like I said, I think offensively they'll figure it out. But man, their pitching staff, just top to bottom, I not a believer in. I've seen that bear itself out a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyways. Shout out to the A's. Back home tonight, Sutter Health Park, three-game set against the San Diego Padres. The Giants, on the other hand, won seven in a row. They're now 8-1. They're now leading the National League West. The story of the first 2 weeks of the season was that the Dodgers might not lose a game.
Ever.
And now all of a sudden the Giants are sitting at 8-1, a game ahead of the Dodgers. Oh, game up in the win column. Game back in the win column, but a game up in the loss column. Insane. The Dodgers sitting at 9-2, Padres 8-2, half game back of the Giants and Dodgers. Salute to the Giants, man. Just figuring it out.
Yeah, they play hard.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of randos.
Yep.
So, I watched him play a little bit this weekend, and Chapman's just, like, roping the ball.
Yeah, he's hitting the ball hard. Patrick Bailey continuing to struggle, but I think that's something he'll figure out. We're talking about what they're doing on the base paths, though. Just consistently figuring out ways to take an extra base, whether that's on, you know, going first to third on a base hit, whether that's stealing a bag. Like, when you're just creating those extra advantages, man, I know that the numbers and the analytics may say that, like, oh, it's dangerous, the, like, risk reward doesn't work out. But I feel like every team that is just a nightmare on the bases is always good.
Oh yeah, dude, speed kills. Dude,
you saw it with the Royals when they lost to the Giants in the 2014 World Series and then won the next one. They just ran the bases like crazy.
Isn't that the Royals team that just stole all the bases on John Lester?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up, but
that was tough.
Yeah.
I think Giovanni Soto, I think, started behind the plate in that game. Oof. Tough.
Yeah, not good. Anyways.
Shout out to the Giants. Good team. I have to talk to you guys about Underdog, which is my very favorite thing. I did not have a lineup last night. I'm sitting there in the middle of just watching games late last night because the Kings played at 3:00. Mm-hmm. So I was just flipping through games at the end. And I was like, oh no, I don't have an Underdog lineup in. So I made sure to get one in today. Underdog Daily Fantasy. You pick two or more players. This is what their pick'em game. You pick two or more players. You pick higher or lower on their stats. And then you can win up to 1,000 times your money. They've got NBA going on right now with the playoffs ramping up. Good time to jump in. Baseball season's in full swing. You've got men's college basketball national championship tonight. Really, really good time to jump in on Underdog and use my promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M. Use that promo code and you can unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash. More on that in a second. Here's my lineup tonight for the Kings-Pistons game. Asar Thompson, I'm going higher than 12.5 points. Domantas Sabonis, I'm going higher than 5.5 assists because the Kings know what's good for him. They will continue running the ball through Domantas Sabonis. And if they do that, he is going to go higher than 5.5 assists. And then Zach LaVine, I'm a believer now. Higher than 20.5 points. Can I get 21 from Zach LaVine tonight?
You're a believer.
I'm a believer in Zach LaVine getting me 21 and helping me win my Underdog lineup. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM. That's K-Y-L-E-M to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Excuse me. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope Line. That's 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. We'll get back into the Sacramento Kings against the Detroit Pistons. That game happening tonight. I will give you keys to the game, matchups we're watching. Should be a fun one in Detroit as the Kings wrap up their 6-game road trip. We'll talk about that next on the Insiders. That's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Loop on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Loop on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.